All right, today you've got to get your thinking cap on because I'm teaching today versus preaching. However you define that, whatever you think the difference is. One guy said, well, it means when you holler and when you don't holler. No, a little bit more than that. You could be seated today. I want to talk to you today about this. Where was Jesus the 3 days and three nights that his body was in the tomb? We got handouts. If you didn't get a handout, raise your hand. They're getting handouts to you. Everybody got a handout? You didn't get a handout? If you didn't get a handout, raise your hand. They'll get one to you. Where was Jesus the 3 days and three nights when his body was in the tomb? We know everything that took place on the earth in invisible realm. We know that. We see it. We read it in the scriptures. What he did, what he didn't do, what was going on. But what was Jesus doing those 3 days and three nights when his body lay in the tomb? Think about that. Did he just get in a recliner somewhere and just kind of, you know, chill out till the third day happened? Let me tell you something. He was busy. He did so much during those 3 days that when we get to heaven, you'll find out about it. But it's told about in the scriptures just in different places. He was absolutely busy the entire 3 days and three nights when his body lay in the tomb. He was crucified on Wednesday night. I don't know if you know the truth about all this. Crucified on Wednesday night, and he rose again on Saturday night, not Friday and Sunday. You can't, no matter how much you squeeze it, you can't get 3 days and three nights from Friday afternoon to Sunday morning. You cannot get 3 days, you know, between those. And the reason is there's a misunderstanding. There's high Sabbaths, they call it in the Bible. And in fact, in the New Testament, it says it was the high Sabbath, which was Thursday of that week. That's why he was crucified on Wednesday, and he rose again on Saturday night. He was already risen from the dead Sunday morning. The angel said, he's not here, he's risen. They went before dark. And so on and on. So in doing all that, I don't want to get into all that, but let me tell you, where was he the 3 days and three nights that his body lay in the tomb? Because what he did during those 3 days and three nights was absolutely amazing. And so let me lay a little bit of groundwork to start with. Matthew chapter 12, some of the scribes and Pharisees answering him said, Teacher, we wish to see from you a sign. And he answered them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except, what's this, the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. I want to talk to you about that today. Let me start with a little bit of groundwork, and that'll help us and get started. Let me tell you, number one, there are two natures. Number one, there are two natures of men. There are two natures of men. And by that I mean you have two natures. You're not only a body, but you are body and spiritual part of you. There's not just a physical part, but there's spiritual. Watch this. Go to the scripture. The burden, the word of the Lord concerning Israel, thus declares the Lord who stretched out the heavens and founded the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. So within you, there is a spiritual part of you. You're not just body, you're body and spirit part. I'm not going to make the difference between soul and spirit today, only that there is a spiritual part of you and there's a physical part of you. All right, look at the next scripture. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. So you see the difference? He says, don't fear those who are able to kill one part of you, but aren't able to kill the other part of you. Don't fear people that can shoot you. Don't fear going down and somebody's going to pull a gun and shoot you dead. Don't fear them, but fear God, not the devil. The devil has no power over your soul. But you fear God who has power both to destroy both your soul and your body in hell. So the Bible says there's two different things. Now, number two is there's a difference between breath and spirit. And the scripture for that one is, if he should set his heart to it and gather to himself his spirit and his breath. So your breath is not your spirit. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that. Your spirit and your breath are different. If you have a spiritual part to your being, and that spiritual part is literally totally different. Number three, let me explain to you about this. What then is death? Death then is the separation of that spirit part of you when it departs the physical part of you. That's what death is. Death is when the spiritual part of you separates itself from the physical part of you. We go through all kinds of in the medical field of what death is or isn't. They have a criteria. But in the scriptures, literally death is when the spirit part of you departs the physical part of you. Watch this in these scriptures here. But we know that if the tent, that's our body, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So we are always of good courage. Know that while we're at home in the body, we're away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Look at the next one. Yes, we're good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and be home with the Lord. Look at the next scripture. I think it's right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon. So you see, death is when you put off your body, when the spirit part of you leaves the physical part of you. Look at the next scripture. And I'll make every effort. Go to the next scripture. I'm sorry. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead. So death is not annihilation. Death isn't something you stop ceasing to exist. Death is when that spirit part of you leaves or departs the physical part of you. That's what death is. It's not some annihilation. It's not like a dog. I don't believe, well, I better not say that. Dogs can be anywhere they want to be, because there's horses in heaven, there can be dogs in heaven, all right? I had a friend of mine, he when they were growing up, their dog died. And his sister came and said, "You think our dog's in heaven?" And he said, "Ain't no dogs in heaven. God doesn't know that. The dogs don't have spirit. They're dead. When they're dead, they're dead." He said, "After my daddy got done whipping me," he said, "I changed theology." Come on, somebody. Dogs can go to heaven. And so he told my sister. All right, I'll leave that there. So there is that. Now, death is always spoken of as a departure. Number four, where does the body go at death? Where does your body go at death? Well, we know that, but let me just do it scripturally. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for your dust, and from dust you shall return. Look at somebody and say, "You dirt bag." Well, just look at somebody and say, "You dirt bag." From dust you are, and dust you shall return. You are from the ground, and your body will return back to the ground. That's the deal. The Bible says you're from dust. Look at the next one. Then the Lord God formed the man of the dust from the ground. So there's a part of him. And then he breathed into him the other part of him, the spiritual part of him. So he says, from the Lord God formed the man from the dust from the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature, because we're two parts. We are a spiritual part, and we are a physical part. Look at next scripture. Do I have? I've got you around. All right, go put the. I'm sorry, I skipped one, didn't I? Go ahead and put the thing there. In the Bible, the Hebrew word for grave is qabr. Everybody say qabr. And the Greek word is minium. That's up the word up there. And those two words are the same. One's in the Hebrew, one's in the Greek. And it meant a grave. It meant where your body goes when you die. When you die, they go dig a hole. They put you in it. They cover it up. That is a qabr. That is your grave. And in the Bible, it always speaks about many people. There were many graves. Everybody had a grave. Turning down. So, but where does the spirit, then? Number five then, if that's where the body goes, where does the spirit part of you go at death? And this is the intriguing part. Watch this. Because first I'm going to talk about, let me just say this. What happens now is far different than what used to happen. What happens now at death, where your spirit part goes, is far different now than what used to be. So let me start with this. Let me start first. Let me tell you what happened in Old Testament. In the Old Testament, then we'll come to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, everybody went to hell. In the Old Testament, Abraham, when he died, went to hell. When Isaac died, he went to hell. Everybody, when they died in the Old Testament, everybody went to hell. Isn't that amazing? In the Old Testament, when someone died, whether you were good or whether you were bad, you went to hell. That's where you went. And I'll show you in just a second. When Jesus died, Jesus went to hell. You'll see it in just a second. You'll understand it. Let me show you the two words. In the King James Bible, the word hell is translated a lot. The word hell is put in there, but it's a lot of different Greek and Hebrew words. And let me explain it to you this way. Let me show you this. Hell in the Hebrew is the word Sheol. And in the Greek language, the word for hell is the word Hades. And let me show you how that is. Let's put the two scriptures out of Psalms. For you, this is a scripture David prophesies this of the coming Messiah. For you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Everybody say Sheol. If you got a King James Bible, it says you'll not abandon my soul to hell. But in the Old Testament, it says you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see corruption. Peter quotes this on the day of Pentecost. Notice what he says. For you will not abandon my soul to what? Hades. So in the Old Testament, the word for hell was the word Sheol. In the New Testament, the word is Hades, the same place. Whether you call it Sheol or whether you call it Hades, it was the exact same place. And speaking of that, and he says, you'll not abandon my soul. Now, let me just say this. It's translated, the word, different words that has, which are different places. It's translated hell so many times differently. But I'm going to use the exact Greek word this morning so you can understand this. There is a place called Hades or Sheol, and it's one place, but it's called hell in the Old Testament. There are two other places that's called hell, translated hell, but let me give you the exact quote. Watch this. Brothers, I must say to you with confidence about the... Go on past that one. Go on past Acts and go to the next scripture. There you go. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life crippled than with two hands to go to... See the word hell? The word hell there is the word Gehenna. Literally, it's the lake of fire. It's unquenchable, unquenchable fire. Okay, look at the next place. I'm throwing a lot at you, but I'm going to explain it to you in just a second. For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment. Tartarus, that's the place it's called. Go to the next scripture. And the angels who did not stay within their own positions of authority but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of that great day. There's another place called Tartarus that angels sinned. When you read the Old Testament, you read the book of Genesis, it says the angels came and knew the sons of men, I mean the daughters of men, literally cohabited with them, produced a line of giants. You read the Old Testament, throughout the Old Testament, there's the lion, Goliath had six fingers, six toes, and he was abnormal. There was a line of giants, and they were descendants of this when the angels, these rebellious angels came, cohabited with the daughters of men, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, and produced out of them was a race of giants. When they crossed that line, God said, the Bible says, God grabbed them, put them in a place called Tartarus. They're in that prison until judgment day. That's why none of the other angels do that. They know there's a deadline. They cross. You cross your position, you leave, and you do that again, you go immediately to jail. No passing go, no nothing. You're put in there, and that's the end of it. It's an amazing thing. Now, let me show you a graphic here. The description of Hades. Look at this right here. Go back and let's read the scripture of 1 Luke. What is Hades like then? What is hell like? What is it? Explain it. All right, listen, watch this. The best example we have is Jesus told a story one day of hell. And I want you to listen to this because this is the only time we get a description of what hell is really like. And listen to what he says. There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, or hell, in some of your Bibles translated, in Hades, this rich man, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes. He's in hell. He's in Sheol. He's in Hades. He lifted up his eyes there in Hades, or hell, and he sees Abraham. Why is that? Because Abraham also went to hell. Lazarus, the poor man, also went to hell. But watch this. In Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send close enough to talk." Close enough to say, "Abraham!" And Abraham could hear him. Close enough. Why? Because Abraham went to hell. "Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the end of the finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in this flame." And Abraham said, "Child, remember that in your lifetime you received the good things, Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he's comforted." Everybody say comforted. He's comforted here, and you're in anguish. And besides all this, notice, here's Jesus telling what hell. Besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. This is Jesus. He lifts his eyes up in hell, and he's close enough to call out to Abraham. Why is that? Because they also went to hell. But he said, "But I'll tell you how it is. In Sheol, there was two sides to it." Put up the graphic so they can see it. In this middle part, Tartarus was where the angels, Queber was a grave, Tartarus. But in the middle part was this place called called Sheol or Hades. And in this middle part, there was two sides to it. There was a torment side and there was a paradise side, or there was a comforting side. And the Bible says when they went to hell, both of them died. Both of them went to the same place, close enough to where they can talk back and forth. But there's this chasm, this gulf fixed between the two of them, so that they cannot cross over, but they're close enough they can communicate. They can talk. And so here they are. They're both captives. They're both down there, in, as it were, in prison, but One's in a comforting side and one's in a torment. Jesus is telling us what it's like. And he tells a story of this one time they talked. But can you imagine throughout eternity, all these talking and crying out and back and forth? He just tells us one time of it. Can you imagine? And so he calls out and he says, "Help us." And he says, "Absolutely not. Nobody can go from one side to the other. It is literally blocked off. You cannot do it." So it's amazing. Now, where is this place? Where is Hades? Next one. Where is it? Where is this middle thing where there's a chasm fixed where one cannot cross over? Where is this place? You know, the Bible is very clear on it. Watch this. And he identified it and said, "This is Jacob." When they tell him, "Joseph, your son's been torn to death by an animal. A lion's eaten him." Now notice, listen to what Jacob says. And he identified it and said, "It's my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without a doubt torn to pieces." And all his sons and daughters rose up to comfort him. This is Jacob talking about Joseph. But he refused to be comforted. He said, "No, I shall go down to where? Sheol." Jacob, the patriarch of Israel, who later his name would be changed to Israel, with his son Joseph, who was a godly man having dreams and visions from God, Jacob believed that when he died, he would go down to hell, down to Sheol. He believed that his son Joseph, having been eaten by a lion, also had gone down to Sheol. Everybody say, "Go down." He said, "I will go down to Sheol with mourning. You'll not stop me from mourning." He believed, truthfully and rightfully, "When I die, I'm going to Sheol. When I die, I'm going to hell. When I die, I'm going down." All right, look at the next one. This is Saul, King Saul. He goes and he's wanting, Samuel has died, the prophet, and God is not speaking to him, so he's trying to go to a medium to hear from Samuel. This is what he says. Then Saul said to his servant, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, and that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servant said to him, "Behold, there is a medium at Endor." And Saul disguised himself, put on his garments, went and two men with him. And they came to the woman, "Divine for me by a spirit and bring up. Everybody say bring up. Bring up for me whom I will ask you." Woman said, "No, you can't do that kind of stuff." Look at next scripture, verse 10. Saul swore to you, nothing will happen to you. Look at verse 11. The woman said, "Whom shall I bring up?" And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And the woman said, cried with loud voice. The woman said, "Why have you deceived me? You're Saul." And the king said, "Do not deceive. What do you see?" And the woman said, "I see a God coming up out of the earth." And he said, "Describe him for me." And when this woman describes who she sees coming up out of the earth, he says, "That's Samuel. That's Samuel." And that's a whole debate whether it really was or wasn't. I'll let you worry about that. But they believe they saw Samuel coming up out of the earth. Go to the next one. If they dig, listen to what Amos says. If they dig, everybody say dig. Can you dig? If they dig into Sheol, from there shall my hand take them. If they climb up to heaven, Sheol was always down, down, down in the middle of the earth. Sheol, there's a place in the middle of, we believe the, you know, scientifically what the middle of the earth is or isn't. But literally, in the Old Testament, before Christ's resurrection, both good and bad, when you died, there were this place called Sheol or hell in your translations. It had, and what they called in the Old Testament, called them the gates of that place. Literally had the power to draw you in. When your spirit on death left your body, the gates of Sheol, the gates of hell, had the power to suck you in, good and bad. If you were good, you went on the good side, on the paradise side. If you were evil, you went on the torment side. But nobody escaped the power of the gates. Because the gates of hell had the power to suck, and every soul that left in the Old Testament had the power to pull it into its existence. And literally, as you know, that the spirit bodies have no, that we don't put a spirit body, like if all of you were just spirits, you could all fit on a thimble. Because remember the guy that had all the demons? I have legions. What's your name? Legion, because there's many of us. How many thousands of demons that man had? Demons aren't confined, you know, spirit beings aren't confined by, you know, as we are physically. So there is a place called, there's a place called Sheol in the middle of the earth. Now, we all went down. Number 8. Where was Christ the 3 days and 3 nights his body was in the grave? When his body was in the Qebr, in that Joseph's tomb, where was Jesus those 3 days and 3 nights his body was in the tomb? Let me tell you, he went to hell. He went to hell. You don't believe that? Watch this. The Bible is very plain. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered and said, "Teacher, show us your sign." And they said, "No signs will be given you except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish. The Son of Man is going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart. Everybody say the heart. The Son of Man is going to be 3 days and 3 nights. As that big whale swallowed Jonah and went down into the depths of that sea, the same sign is going to happen. The Son of Man is going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Watch the next one. Watch this scripture. "You will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption." You know what that means? I'm going to hell. I'm going to Hades. But I'm not going to be there long enough for my body to corrupt. I'm going there, but it's not going to hold me. It's not going to keep me. I'm going. You're not going to abandon me. You're not going to throw me there and then abandon me. I'm going there, but you're not going to abandon me. I'm not going to be there long enough for my body to corrode. I will come out of that place. You'll see, that's good. We're getting. For he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that was that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. Go to the next scripture. Jesus said, remember me when you... And he said, the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say? Today, you're going to be with me. Where? Where's paradise? It's the good side of Hades. You know what? Can you imagine? Jesus got there and waited on the thief on the cross. He showed up a little bit later. Oh, come on, somebody. All right, watch this. Therefore, it says, here, look at the book of Ephesians. When he ascended on high, and this is going to be good back to this one, he led a host of captives, gave gifts. Look at the next scripture. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also what? Descended where? To the lower parts of the earth. When he was on that cross and he said, Father, in thy hands I commend my spirit. He knew Psalms. He knew the book of Psalms. He knew, you will not abandon my soul. I'm going to hell. I'm going to Sheol. But you will not abandon my soul there. You're not going to leave me there. In fact, I'm not going to stay there long enough for my body to see corruption. I'm going to come out of this place. And the Bible says, except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth. Now, what was the purpose of him going there? This is where it gets good. Why did he go there? Why did he go down to Sheol? Where everybody, because those gates had power to pull every person that, once their spirit part of them left their body, they were sucked down into hell. They were sucked down into Sheol. Why did Jesus, when he died, what did he do when he went down there? The number one thing is this. Watch this. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives with him. When he came out of Hades, he didn't come alone. He went into Hades, and the Bible says when he left there, there's a story in the Old Testament of Samson. They got him in a city one time. They closed the gates. They thought it had him cornered. The Bible says he caught up, grabbed those gates, ripped those gates off of those hinges, ran them off a few hundred miles, and set them back down. And the Bible says he opened up a way for everybody to get out. Neither one of the best. Well, I'm excited. You may not be excited. I'm excited. Amen. Christ also suffered once for sins, that he, for the righteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went. I'm going to just read this and leave it with you. In which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons were. He went to the spirits in prison, and he preached to them. I'm going to tell you, those 3 days, 3 nights, his body lay in the tomb, he was busy. Look at the next one. For this is why the gospel was preached, even to those who are dead, that through, and that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. Just amazing. And I tell you, Peter, I love this. Watch this. Remember that day he had them all out? He said, who do men say that I am? And they all said, some Elijah. Who do you say I am? And Peter said, I say that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know what Jesus said? Flesh and blood's not told this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed. And let me tell you, upon this rock, he said, he's not building the church on Peter. He said, upon this rock, which was a revelation of you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, upon this rock I will build my church. And he said, let me tell you something. Something's going to change in the spirit realm. What's that, Jesus? You know the power of the gates of hell. You know how powerful those gates of hell are? Every time you die, it has the power to suck you down. Guess what's going to happen? I'm going to rip the gates off Sheol. And I'm going to form a church that when you pass and when you die in that age, the gates of hell will no longer have the power to suck you in. Come on, somebody. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. That is, there will come a time Well, no longer will, when you die, you go to hell. No longer when you die, you'll, even though it's a good side and a bad side, it's still in prison. No longer will that happen to you. But now there'll come a time when those gates will no longer prevail against the church of the living God. Come on, somebody say amen, would you? They'll no longer do it. The gates, the entrance, the gates literally pulled them. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Listen to what it says. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things that through death he might destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Let me tell you something today. You don't have to fear death like they did in the Old Testament. Paul said, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where's your victory? See, now when you die, it's to be present with the Lord. Now you no longer go down and in prison. Now there's life. I'll get to that in just a second. Now watch this. The next part. Where is, what I have? Oh, where is Abraham's bosom or paradise now? Where is Abraham's bosom or paradise now after the resurrection? Where is it now? Watch this. Therefore it says when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men. Now, especially he ascended, he went way up high. Look at verse 10. He ascended is himself also he who ascended above all things, all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. Go to the next scripture. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Watch this. And the top to the bottom and the earth shook and rocks. And see, the rocks were graveyard rocks. They were in a graveyard. And it was these huge, huge boulders they put in front of graves to seal them up. And they were all split open. And what's this? The tombs were also open. And many, many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And but not right away. The tombs opened first. And those bodies laid in there for 3 days and three nights. Why is that? Because he's down in Sheol dealing with stuff. He's preaching. He's ministering. And then at the end of 3 days, he says, come on, everybody. Put on your shoes. It's ready. It's time to leave. He tore the gates off of Sheol. He ascended on high, led a captive host of spirits with him out of that place. And you read in the New Testament, it's like he stopped for just a little bit. He stopped right on the surface of the earth. Because Mary saw him, and memory said, Mary, don't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended to your God and my God, your Father, my Father. He's about to take his blood up and put it in the holiest of all, and then he's going to come back to earth and reappear. But he's got a host of captives with him. He's got a host of spirits with him. And I don't know why, but a few of them were given the privilege of, Lord, you think I could go back and live for a little bit longer? You think I'd go back in my body and live for a little bit longer? They're all standing there, and I don't know why or who got the privilege or why he did it, but the Bible says many of the tombs opened up, and the spirits, when he brought them out of prison, brought them up to the level of the earth, and he said, okay, you can go back. Won't you go back? You go back, and you go back. You know why? Because they all came out of the tombs on that Easter morning, and that was the very first Easter parade ever. Now, come on, somebody. They walked down Main Street, Jerusalem. Can you imagine? Hey, I'm home. Hey, you died 2 months ago. No, I'm alive right now. Come on, somebody. He says, many of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. Whoa, what a scripture. Come on, let's go to the next scripture. I must go on boasting. Though there is nothing to be gained by it, I will go on visions, revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ 14 years ago was caught down, pushed down, or caught where? Caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body, out of the body, God knows, I don't know. And I know the man was caught up. Caught up where? Caught up into what? Caught up into paradise. Paradise is no longer down on the good side of Sheol. Those gates have been torn apart. Those gates will no longer prevail against the church of the living God. Has nothing to do with spiritual warfare. You can interpolate it that you can do that. But it had everything to do with the power of literal Sheol to pull us down. He said, no, when he came out of the grave, that when he came alive that day, he ripped those gates off. He didn't do it just for himself. He did it for all of us and all of our love. And they all came out. Abraham came out. David came out. Come on, Isaac came out of there. They all came up to the earth. And he took them up to heaven. And now paradise is up with him. Watch this. Watch this. He says, I heard many things cannot be told which a man to utter. Go to the next scripture. Yes, we have good courage and we'd rather be away from the body. What happens to you now because the gates of hell no longer prevail again? Be away from your body. Be departing from what happens now. Are you sucked down by the gates of hell? No. When you leave your body, to be your body is to be present with the Lord. Come on, somebody. To leave your body, be present with the Lord. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart. What happens when you depart now on this side of Calvary? Well, when you depart now, you get to go be with the Lord. That's why, oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? It's been taken away. We no longer go down. We're no longer dominated by the gates of hell. We're free. He's broken that power. And now to be present, listen, when you leave your body, listen, one day somebody's going to stand right here and say, Pastor Terry is dead. Don't you believe it? I'll be more alive than I've ever been in my life. Death is not annihilation. It just means my spirit has departed my body, and I am with the Lord. Come on, somebody. Be with the Lord, for that is far better. Next scripture. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and the witness that they had borne. They cried, Lord, how long will you not judge and avenge our blood on those that dwell on the earth? And they were each given a white robe, told to wrestle along. See, when you die now, you go to be with the Lord. When I watch this, I love 1 Thessalonians. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. Those whose spirit part of their being has already departed and they've gone to be with the Lord. I don't want you to be ignorant. Don't grieve like those that have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Why? Because they're with him. They're in heaven. When he comes back, he's not coming back alone. He's bringing an army host with him. It says, for we declare to you by the word from the Lord that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of the archangel, the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Listen, if you ever think Jesus is coming, you ought to run to the nearest graveyard you can find. It's going to be the most exciting place on planet Earth because they're coming up out of the tomb. For those we who are alive and who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so will we always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with... Are you encouraged this morning? Would you say that? Give another good clap offering. Would you do that one more time? Where's the place of torment then? Where is Hades? Where's Sheol? Where is it? It's still in the same place it was and has been for thousands and thousands of years. When the spirit part of an unbeliever leaves his body, the gates of hell prevail against him. The gates of hell still suck them down and they go down there. Listen to what it says in Revelation. I saw a great white throne. On him was seated. From his presence, the earth, the sky fled. No place was found for them. I saw all the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. Then books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to what they'd done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades. Death and Sheol. Death and Hades. Hell. Gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they'd done. And death and Hades were thrown into what we believe is Gehenna, the lake of fire, the permanent place. There's no such thing as purgatory. They tried to twist all that. That's not true. But there will be a time when hell itself is going to give up. Sheol will give up, everybody in it. They will be judged. And all of that is going to be thrown into the lake of fire, which burns forever and ever and ever. This is the second death. Born once, you die twice. But if you're born twice, you die once. That's what Jesus said. You must be born again. You're born twice, you only die one time. But if you're only born one time, you're never reborn, you're going to die twice. There's two deaths. Physical death, and then you'll have the spiritual death. So, let me just say this. What Jesus has done for us is unbelievable. Get the video ready. Would you bring the lights down? This is Keith Green. How many of you appreciate what Jesus did for us? Or don't you appreciate it? Give him a good clap off. Would you do that? We're going to end up with this little video. Go ahead and play that little video if you would. To the Lord today, would you? Hallelujah. Come on, stand up. Father, we thank you today. You are worthy. Jesus, you have conquered. You've done so much that we don't even know that you did for us. So today, Lord, we just come with open hearts to tell you that you are great. You are mighty, oh God. You are victorious. You've been our great conqueror. We didn't even know all that you did for us. But Lord, you've done so much for us. So today we thank you that the gates of hell no longer prevail against us. Thank you for crumbling them. Thank you, Lord, that we can be with you. Thank you for taking the fear of death away from us. Thank you for taking the sting of death and the victory of the grave away. Thank you that we can be with you, Lord, is far better. We thank you today for the joy. We are encouraged and we cannot wait till you come back. We say it with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Give it one more good clap offering, would you? God bless you. You're dismissed. We'll see you Wednesday night.